Welcome to the Van Hack Podcast, the podcast for tech talent that wants to get hired abroad.
The future. All right. Good to go. Are we live?
We are back live. Yes. Let's see in the comments if more people is joining
us. Thumbs up in the chat,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, good emojis.
Nice.
Yes, they are seeing us. How was the networking session? Comment, please. How was this experience? You had the opportunity to ask who joined it. It was wonderful. Great. Awesome. Table's cool. Okay. Tomorrow we are going to have other one. Please join tomorrow as well. I know a lot of people here. Great. So we already talked a bit about the Canadian tech talent industry and what global companies are looking for in terms of soft skills now. So we have an amazing discussion about the Canadian tech ecosystem with two important stakeholders in the Canadian market, our CEO, Ilya, that you already know, and our guest speaker, Douglas Soltis. Douglas' career path lies in the intersection between mobile technology and new social media. He started his journey in BlackBerry software development, implementing social community projects on both desktop and client sides. He is nowadays editor-in-chief at BetaKit, a media publication covering Canadian startups and tech innovation in Canada. Thank you so much for joining. The stage is all yours, Ilya and Douglas.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ilya.
Thank you
for
being here.
This is my first VanHackCon. I'm excited. There's a lot of people watching. This is great. All around the world.
It is a global conference, and you and I are both in different countries, actually.
It's true.
That's in the United States of America, where there still is real sun, and Yes. You're in Ottawa, where there is fake sun.
There is a lot. Well, it's sunny out, but it's only because there's so much snow on the ground. I wanted a warm kind
of
background.
Sometimes
location.
That's nice, though, right? Sometimes.
Oh. It can be nice. It's nice when it first falls, and then sometimes you just want to be warm. But I really appreciated the fact that the VanHack team organizing this today, that has been doing a stellar job, is coming in from all over the world. I think just being backstage right before the session, every single one of us was in not only a different city around the world, but a different country. And that's really, really cool. So thank you so much for having me, Ilya. I usually have you on my podcast, and now I'm at your conference. This is really neat.
Yeah, we were flipping the script, so I get to interview you, do a little bit of a rundown across Canada. We're going to take the journey, if you will. Have you seen that flyover Canada thing when you were in Vancouver? Did you see that? Do you guys have that in Toronto where you can like fly? It's like a little interactive exhibit down by Canada Place.
I did not see that.
It's called Flyover Canada, and it feels like you're actually like flying over the country. So we're going to do a little bit of like a flyover Canada's tech ecosystem.
Well, I've been doing that this year, man. I'm currently in Ottawa. I'm based in Toronto. I saw you in Vancouver earlier this year. My team is going to be in Calgary next week. I don't know where I'll be by December, but we've been literally flying over Canada all year covering Canadian tech. So I'm ready.
Let's fly people to Canada first.
And awesome.
Then we can fly them across. Well, actually, it's funny. Does everyone know the theme of this conference is actually, we love to see people fly, or maybe we just call it fly. So one of our like team members, Breno, is our kind of design lead, and he created this video of him singing. Someone from our team, could you please put it in? And he played it for us. I think it was on our anniversary because we turned 7 recently. Anyway, so it's all about flying, helping people get on flights and get into Pearson, get them down to Trudeau Airport in Montreal. That's probably the two most common, YVR as well, where van hackers fly into. But let's say I'm a new person and I'm thinking to fly into Canada's tech ecosystem. How do I, think about that? Like, do I think about, I want to go to Toronto or I want to go to the prairies? Yeah. Like, how do I even begin? Maybe even before we go into Canada, how does Canada compare in the world? Right? Like, because we have the United States, we have Europe, so how do you see Canada on the global stage as a tech ecosystem? Let's start there higher level, and then we can dive into like, Montreal versus Toronto and whatever other rivalries people might have.
I think that's a great way to think of it. And honestly, you're a little bit more of an international jet setter than I am. But I want to draw the corollary between when you go to a new city for the first time and you don't really know it and you're just trying to get your bearings, and you normally go downtown, right? Because that's where the action is. And then as you get more comfortable being in the city, you might explore different areas, you might go for like hikes or check out different locations. And then when you really have a sense of the city, you never feel lost. And I think when we're talking about Canadian tech, the first thing you need to realize is it's not one place. There's not just one place to go, particularly in Canada, because it is so geographically large. It is sometimes easier to get to Europe from Toronto than it is to Vancouver.
That's so sad. Like, can we like go on a little first tangent? We're gonna have many tangents in this conversation. Yes.
This is a complaint about flights. Canada.
Why does the Ryan airline and EasyJet from like London to Berlin for 20 euros and it costs me $300-$400 to fly to Toronto? Like, I should be able to get to Toronto for $50 anytime. Like, there just needs to be like a change there. Anyway, I'll stop with my tangent. But yeah, it is a big country.
I think when people are unfamiliar with places, they think of it as like Canadian tech, or even, you know, in America, it's a little bit more distinct. They think of it as the Valley, a specific region, even though there's tons of tech companies in Austin, there are tons of tech companies in New York. So if you're looking to explore Canadian tech, I think you want to realize there are a bunch of different ecosystems with different types of companies, different sizes. Also, for people coming over from other parts of the world, different demographics. Canada is a significantly diverse place relative to other countries. And depending upon where you land, because I'm just seeing some people in chat being like, oh, you know, it's awesome that in Canada they speak English. We also speak French. There's a variety of other languages being spoken depending upon which cities that you land in. And that might be a consideration here, that when you're looking at Canadian tech, there are some maybe landing spots that you might be a little bit more personally, culturally familiar with to help you get your bearings.
Great point.
I just wanted to break it down to those individual levels first before we go city by city comparison, and let people know that there are maybe five or six really major hubs for tech across Canada. Like, I'm in the nation's capital right now, which is a very important city in Canada, but it's also like a historically a very important tech hub, whether it's coming from like Nortel or, you know, as part of the introduction, the very wonderful introduction, BlackBerry had a huge significant presence here, big telecom type stuff here. And it's very distinct from even 2 hours away, Montreal or Toronto, where I live. So you actually have a lot of options here. And I would strongly recommend for everyone considering coming to Canada to not feel pressure to go to the biggest place. Not only because there's so many options here across Canada, we're a really big country, but particularly because of, we know with COVID, we know with remote work, we're all connecting into VanHackCon from different cities all over the place. There's a lot of really wonderful places you can be working and living in Canada, being connected to local ecosystems there, and not feel like you're really missing out.
Yep.
I'm glad you agree, man. I thought you were gonna be like, no, people must go to this place, or you might have a different perspective.
I think that flexibility word is so true, and that's like what I've seen is people, and it's actually what I love, is like, give people the choice and freedom to move where is best for them, and let like geography and opportunity be decoupled for like, that's it. Yes. Like, break it, like, move to PEI, move to Kelowna, move to, you know, Vancouver Island, Nanaimo, like move wherever you think is best for you. And then I think like these new crop of startups, and this is again tangent number two, are definitely just like default remote or default global by nature. So they're happy for you to move there.
Can I just say one more thing, Ilya, there? Because I think we both agree, but I think for people unfamiliar, we should also note that this wasn't the case like 5 years ago.
No,
this is a new development.
Huge change. It's like
I say this as someone that moved to Toronto in 2010 after living in Ottawa, working in the tech ecosystem there for 8 years, because I felt I needed to be closer to where the action was. And I wasn't really willing to move to Kitchener-Waterloo, but I was willing to move to Toronto, and then got completely immersed first in the Toronto ecosystem, and then working with BetaKit, Vancouver, Montreal, Calgary, different places. But yeah. I think what Ilya and I are saying now is that there's been a kind of a fundamental change that also Canadian tech companies are taking advantage of. We know so many people that are living and working across this country. Now, they've already might have those roots established, but there are opportunities all over the place. And I don't know if you want to take this, Ilya, and talk about like making connections in ecosystems. Do we want to talk more about each individual ecosystem? You're interviewing me, man. Yeah. I'll do whatever you tell me to.
And I'll do whatever the Mad Hackers tell me to. So yeah. Like if you need a Q&A, I mean, let's give priority to like Laramie, David, Doug. We have another Douglas here, Douglas Guevara, who asked a question. Awesome. So
Douglas, we're getting thumbs up here.
And also Johan. So yeah. So how is tech used by cities? Okay. So I think let's do a little bit of what we said we're going to do, and then we can maybe go off on tangent number three and future questions. Which tech stack? Okay. I'm going to just answer the second question off the bat. Don't worry about tech stack, or you can just like Google that or Indeed that. But like, let's go through tech ecosystem by city. And I think if we had time, there'd be like 100 that we can go into. But let's start with like, you know, the major players, right? Like, I think we should, you know, like, you know, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, the Prairies, the Maritimes, you know, other spots in the world or in the country.
There was another question from I believe Andreas, who was asking like, hey, is Kitchener-Waterloo the biggest ecosystem, because it's calling itself the Silicon Valley of Canada? And that's why I'm really here, happy here to share. There's a difference between the labeling and the branding that ecosystems are trying to adopt, and then what's really going on, because like, I would say,
or like pre-launch and post-launch.
What are those point of comparisons, right? So tons of university innovation campuses in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, which is about an hour and a half from Toronto, right? So they're saying this region is filled with like innovation, academia, a bunch of companies. But as a local municipality, very, very small relative to Ottawa or Calgary even, or certainly Montreal, Vancouver, or Toronto. I would think in terms of number of companies, I can't hold the sign in front of your face so we can see it. Your background.
Okay. I'm just like going city by city, but now I disappear. Whoa.
This Waterloo. Is so yeah. Technology. So
Waterloo, like I'm just taking notes. Everyone take notes while Douglas is speaking, because usually like you'll learn something. So
yeah.
I think I would recommend everyone maybe better like than this, but take real notes.
So Waterloo, the Kitchener-Waterloo ecosystem has tons of university networks. Obviously, that's where kind of BlackBerry was founded. So there's a huge history of innovation. There's a bunch of accelerators there, like Communitech, the Accelerator Center. But in terms of right now, net new startups being founded and funded, it's relatively small to the rest of the ecosystem. That said, I was just talking about this with some people in Ottawa. Great quality of life. Yeah. Affordable housing in the kind of tri-city area, Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge.
Yep.
And about an hour drive from Toronto, right? Yep. So if you are looking to have the nice house, some farmland, some space, some distance, and be an hour's drive from where the action is, that could be a place. But when we're talking about Silicon Valley in terms of like company density, financing, number of venture capitalists, I would say the biggest market by far is Toronto. And then there is a quarter by quarter or annual competition between, say, Montreal or Vancouver as to what's going on. Now, let's take Montreal and Vancouver actually together, because they're very interesting, because Toronto has this a bit as well, but certainly more in Montreal and Vancouver. Huge amount of companies in the digital entertainment space. We're talking video games, things like that. So not just pure tech companies. Ubisoft, tons of companies located there. Lots of government grants and subsidies to support that development, which kind of rounds out and adds like a really cool element to those ecosystems. But they would be competing kind of, I would say, Ilya, quarter by quarter in terms of...
They're pretty similar size.
Funding and attention, but also very different attention. Montreal has... Yeah. A bit of a fintech focus.
Yeah.
Vancouver's really been working on Web3 or NFT. Yeah, both of them have very cool digital entertainment, gaming, and stuff like that. There's a lot of metaverse work happening in both. So to your point, Ilya, when the person asked a question of like what tech stack is working on, I would be more focused on like sector type of company that's doing that work there. And like something that matches your, like what you're looking for in a living conditions or a city more so than the tech stack. Cause they're going to be companies there.
Yeah. There's jobs for all types of tech stacks. And I think like, it's easy for you to Google that answer. So that's why I just said it's easier and it changes day by day. So like, if you just literally go to like Google and type in, you know, jobs by city or like type in the skill that you work with and you can figure it out. But yeah, I think like one kind of thing just to I kind of want to underscore a little bit KW. I do feel like Kitchener-Waterloo is a special place in Canada that does remind me of Silicon Valley. It would be the most Silicon Valley. Like if you know, if I had to be things like, if I had to be honest as a you know, Vancouver West Coast person, like, you know, hats off to Kitchener-Waterloo region. Like they have so many unicorns. They have the university. They have like you said, great quality of life. It's kind of like developer paradise almost, like KW, not KWI. So Kitchener-Waterloo region, so just KW or just Waterloo or just Kitchener. But most people say KW, I think now. I'm not sure, but Waterloo. So it is very, very cool place to live. And I do think that, like, especially for van hackers, it could be an interesting place because it's close to Toronto. It is an hour away. So you kind of have that Palo Alto, San Francisco proper feel. Whereas Toronto would be like the city of San Francisco versus the Silicon Valley of Palo Alto.
Yeah,
and
it'd be like great comparison.
And would be San Francisco or Toronto, I guess.
So, meanwhile, like Vancouver is a little bit more like, hey, we're actually really close to the
to the actual Silicon Valley, which
we're,
is where
we're I was hanging out with Ilya this summer at Traction, which is a really great tech conference in Vancouver in August, where it was actually sunny and actually warm. We didn't need to have fake backgrounds. And I was talking, they had so many American companies there with a strong presence because one, it's very, very beautiful, very, very beautiful in Vancouver in the summer, but also it's a short flight. It's a 2-hour flight. It's easier for people from the Valley to get to Vancouver than it is for me from Toronto. Yeah. And they're talking more about that connectivity between ecosystems than local proximity. And I think what we're trying to really set up here is we don't want you to land in one location and be like, I'm in Silicon Valley North. Here I am. Where are all the companies? It's like, well, you actually have to drive 45 minutes that way.
Toronto. I think Toronto is the beast. I think Toronto is, as much as it's overrated, as like everyone likes to hate on Toronto, it's still, I believe, underrated in terms of North America. Like if you're, like, I think a lot of Americans don't get that Toronto is the fourth largest city in North America. They don't get that it's bigger than, like, I don't know, Miami or something. Like, Toronto is a very big, fast-growing, dynamic ecosystem. And I think that, as like, if you're you can't talk about Canada without like having a portion of your time, as much as I hate to, or, you know, I don't hate to, it's actually really fun. And like, it's a great city that is like, Toronto is like Canada's connector to the world, right? Like, most people come to Pearson as their main port of entry. Like, Toronto is the most diverse city in the world, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, like, you know, as a native Torontonian, I think you migrated, right, to Toronto.
Yeah, I'm not natively from Toronto. I'm from Northern Ontario, right at the heart of the Great Lakes. I'm a small town guy. But when I was looking to leave Ottawa and decide where I wanted to go, there were really two cities for me at that time, and it was Montreal and it was Toronto. And I had, honestly, it was a coin toss. I maybe enjoyed Montreal a bit more. It's one of the most... it's the most international city in Canada, I would say. But I had more friends in Toronto, and I made that choice. But I think either choice would have been fine. Do we got a few minutes? I don't want to take too much. Can we shout out some of the emerging ecosystems as well?
Yeah, because we have 40 minutes. I literally don't know what we're going to talk about for 40 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Because I also want to note, I've been spending a lot of time, especially as a small town person, there's no bias towards some of the major markets, because I actually think there's a lot more opportunity, particularly as someone who got my career in tech started in Ottawa, in places where there's maybe a history of innovation there, but it's a little bit smaller, a little bit more condensed per capita. And I've actually been really impressed with the Calgary ecosystem over the last couple of years, because that is a city, that is a location that has a lot of capital flowing through it because of the energy industry. And then they've been taking that and transitioning it into tech and innovation. So the quality of living relative to the population is quite high.
It is.
There are things to do. You can eat really well. housing is still affordable, and there's a bunch of tech companies right downtown. They just built the new Platform Calgary building, so that's their kind of innovation hub. Mm-hmm. And I remember going there in 2019 and feeling that, while agreeing with everything you said, Ilya, that was maybe a step ahead of Kitchener-Waterloo, because it just seemed like a little bit more of a livable city. Yeah. And I say that as someone who didn't want to move to Kitchener-Waterloo when I first started working at BlackBerry, because it was a little small town. I was a little bit younger. I wanted to get out and have fun. But in Calgary, I really felt that way. And then I think Ottawa, another place here. Now, Ottawa has had its historical ups and downs, but it's the nation's capital. There's definitely stuff going on here.
The government,
There are Shopify here is here as well, a big anchor company. There's like tons of, I was just having a call earlier today with Invest Ottawa. There's tons of innovation hubs here. And then Ilya, you made the PEI reference, Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
A bunch of Atlantic Canada locations. Now they're not centralized, but if you want to talk about a beautiful place to live, and I would say a network of innovation hubs and companies that are trying to, like, across four provinces, trying to work together.
Yep.
Startup Atlantic is a great connector there for what's happening. So again, you know, there might only be four or five anchor companies there, but cost of living, quality of life there might be huge for you, depending upon what you're looking for.
Love it.
I think we've mostly covered off most of it. I spent some time in the prairies too. We can get to that, but
we can talk about the West Coast of Canada a little bit more.
All right. Do you want to talk about Vancouver?
No, I think the West Coast, actually. Vancouver's cool, whatever. But like, there's like the, you know, the Okanagan, which is kind of like northern or mid BC. Or even the Yukon, the territory is like, you know, it's not BC, but like it's West Coast. Like there's a tech hub in Yellowknife. We did get a question here from Valeria, which is best place to move with a family. And I just want to say that there's no one best place. There are many good places. But maybe Douglas, if you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I would say obviously like it depends upon your kind of conditions there. Is it you're looking for great schools? Are you looking for like a really big home, a house? Support services and things like that. So Toronto's got a lot of that, but it's also a much more expensive city compared to like certainly Montreal or cities like Calgary or even, you know, shout out Regina or Saskatoon. There's lots of innovative companies there where it's like you go there and it's like all the opportunities laid out for you. They're a little bit quieter, great places to raise a family. Obviously, Ilya's just tons of places in BC for that. Again, but you got to anchor it towards cost of living. I think when you go a little bit more remote, when you're talking about whether it's the Yukon or other places like that, when it comes to educational or support services, that might be a little bit more difficult or a cost of travel. But I would say that there are a bunch of developing emergence ecosystems in Canada that when it comes to affordability and livability, particularly for a family, is very high. In Toronto, you're looking to spend, if you want to own a home that is not a condo, you're looking to spend millions of dollars, which is why when we were talking earlier, the Kitchener-Waterloo, the Kitchener-Cambridge ecosystem, that's very affordable and close by, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, there's like so many great places. I think like childcare is something that we think we maybe need to improve on in Canada for like families. But there's so many great spots. So, yeah.
Do we want to answer David's question? David, who's a freelance developer, he's saying, why does there feel like competition between the cities? And I think that is a great question because, Ilya, you were making – it's a pastime, right?
It's fun. It's like hockey, you know, or like, you know, football or whatever. There's the World Cup coming up. You know, that could be something. But, like, I think it's just fun. Like, you know, I grew up in Vancouver. I'm a Canucks fan. You know, Douglas is probably a Senators fan or a Leafs fan. It's just like
Montreal Canadiens fan.
Oh,
Patrick.
See, now I respect them more because actually that's my second favorite team. So there you go. The Habs for sure. It makes total sense. So I don't think there's competition. I do feel like, you know, that's one thing as Canadians are good at is we are competitive. We're also compassionate about it. Like we're nice and we can be friends and recognize like the Toronto is, you know, the de facto biggest city in Canada. And like, I can say a lot of good things about it. I lived there for about a year of my life. If you sum up all the different times, maybe even like a little bit more than that. And I think it's just fun, you know, it's just fun. It's not real. We're not actually mad at each other. I don't think it's serious competition.
I think it's more a battle for more recognition internationally of that national spotlight. Yeah. There's a lot of cities that are trying to say, hey, world, come to Canada, but come to Canada here first. And I think that's, but again, I was in Vancouver
for Tech Talent, which is, sorry, you were in Vancouver. Okay. You're in Vancouver.
Well, I was going to say I've been all over the world, but I think you're right. It's
so you can it.
Yeah. It's the competition for your talent that they're trying to, every ecosystem is trying to put on the best face to get you to come there. Right. And I think, for people that are looking, asking these questions, I want to try and give you as honest answers as possible, because I work in Canadian tech. It's my responsibility to make it to cover every ecosystem. Yeah. So if you can find a place here that you enjoy, I think it's a win for Canadian tech, even if Ilya would rather have you move to Vancouver or Squamish.
I wouldn't. Oh, Squamish. Squamish is nice. I wouldn't rather have you move anywhere, because like honestly, at this point, I just want to get y'all hired. But like, you know, and if you even don't move, that's like a whole nother thing. I think we're going to talk about that, or like the crazy kind of next level is getting hired at a Canadian company, but moving to like Costa Rica or something, and just like decoupling the city, the location of the company with the country you relocate to. Yeah. So I see some sunglasses. So yeah, like I think that's like the next kind of thing, but no, for sure. In terms of like actual cities across the country, like, there's a lot of great spots, and like the underrepresented gems, like, yeah, the Calgary would probably be one of the best ones. Like you mentioned Calgary, I think we can give them some love for sure. All right, we have half an hour left. We have some questions.
There was one question about junior developers. You guys are posting questions so fast, it's like hard to keep up. I think there's a question about not hearing. From Michael, how is the job market in Canada for junior developers? I think, Ilya, you might know a little bit more because you're on the hiring beat, but I would say it's pretty high because, again, that talent pipeline, if you've got skills, if you can get experience, if you can prove yourself, you will not be a junior developer for very long, right? And I would say, depending upon where you're going, there are major companies like Shopify that are even working with the universities doing like placement training, where you can be studying at some of Canada's biggest tech companies and getting credit for it. Like you can be working there. So I think we're not talking about junior devs as much, because every dev is like in demand right now.
Well, we, you know, one thing we are kind of like thinking about internally, and we haven't done yet, but maybe we'll have some feedback, is like launching a like vanhack.com/juniors or vanhack.com/even layoffs or some kind of like way of us for highlighting talent that we otherwise wouldn't have highlighted, or maybe local talent. I've been told that we have 14 minutes left. Okay, so we actually
gotta dig in here.
Yeah, we have 14 minutes left. I thought, okay, we just got our session cut in half. Okay, good to know that. So we're gonna have like blabbered on more. Anyway, so junior talent is something that we might help out with a little bit in the future. So just keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I think that whole concept of not being a junior developer very long and like getting your hands dirty, getting some work experience done. And yeah, I think a lot of companies are kind of seeing junior talent as like a pipeline for their future leaders. Yeah. So what they're doing is they're like employing them, like you said, for like a co-op or like a work term or something like that. And then like in 3-4 years, that person is the, you know, internal talent pipeline development. And I love that. I think that's one of your duties for van hackers, to come to Canada or whatever country you relocate to and help improve the local community by mentoring a junior developer or three. So that's something that I think all of you should be thinking of as a way.
There's so many support systems though, like Slack groups, meetup groups. When I moved to Toronto and I wanted to get connected, there were things like DevTO and so many organizations where you can meet people and have a real peer group. But even for like students coming in, I think to shout out, I think it's called Hack the North. It's like the biggest, it's in Kitchener-Waterloo. It's like the biggest student hackathon in North America. They have like hundreds of students just hacking together over the weekend, and it's not only a great way to develop your portfolio, but you know that recruiters are there, you know that companies are there. It's a great way to get on the radar. So there are I would say in pretty much every city in Canada, events, groups, activities that you can be participating in to get connected. And as Ilya said, yeah, pay it forward. If you've really figured out how to localize and you can be a pipeline for other people from your home country, it just makes it easier. Part of the reason why I moved to Toronto is because I knew people there. They were going to help me figure out where to move, where to live, best places to eat, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think like having that kind of mentor to guide you in, like I think that one kind of cool thing is that there's actually, you don't need to even know that many people in a city to move there because there's so much of that online. Some smaller cities probably don't have it, but I think one thing we do is like after a Van Hacker is hired, we'll like help them connect to other Van Hackers in that city through a WhatsApp group or just like personal introductions. Mm-hmm. But regardless of where you move or how you move there, like there's so much data now that's available, right? Like you watch a video or like Google Street View or like reviews on Google Earth or Google Maps, you know? Mm-hmm. So those kind of things are a little bit interesting. And actually, Douglas, where would you actually, where would you move? If you could move somewhere for a year, anywhere in Canada, you'd have to be in that country, or maybe it's a combo. Maybe will you walk us through a year of Douglas's favorite, what would Douglas's like, you know, January, where would you want to be in January in Canada? Maybe the Yukon or something crazy like that for like, you know, the Arctic and the really cold, or I don't know. What would a year in Douglas's life be if you had to plan that out and you could literally live anywhere?
That's a really cool question. I kind of teased it a bit. I think, you know, as someone who's a little bit older, maybe looking to set down some roots or something, I actually think like Calgary would be a pretty cool place because I think I could get a home similar to what I grew up in Northern Ontario there. But if we're going like season by season, let me tell you right now. Mm. There's not a lot of places in Canada right now in November, December. That's great. I might even say Montreal. I'm going to say Montreal because as someone who went to school in Ottawa, lived there, I would spend a lot of time in Montreal, a lot of weekends. And Montreal in the winter is very snowy, but it's beautiful. Mm. And then in the spring, I might be going to Atlantic Canada.
Mm.
And then in the summer, I am 100% going to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. This was my partner's from just outside of Vancouver. I visited her family like every spring, every fall, and sometimes it's a little rainy and it's like,
yeah. This summer like, you visited in the summer.
But this year I visited in the summer, and I would say August in Vancouver is probably the most beautiful place in Canada to be. And then when it comes to fall, I'm going to give a shout out to Ottawa, the city I lived in, because even just coming here, just right before it was snowing, particularly some of the universities, there's lots of green space in the valley. Very beautiful. I would say Toronto's a close second, but I have a lot of wonderful memories of Ottawa in the fall. And then the minute it starts to snow, I'm out.
Holy shit. Carlos is you're a blockchain developer who just lost your job because of FTX. Holy crap. Let's get you hired. That'd be really, really okay. So Carlos Montano, is that right? Am I saying your name right? Yo, Douglas, let's finish it with this. What are you thinking about the current events? You're in the news. Like, what are the crazy stories that are happening right now? Anything kind of connected to tech?
Finished recording up. We did a live podcast in Ottawa for SaaS North. And we were obviously talking about FTX because FTX was invested in by some Canadian pension funds, right? So I think that's a huge story. I think it's honestly really sad for the people that work in there. They didn't have, I would say one of the cool things about Canadian companies, you're going to have Canadian companies that succeed or fail, but you will not find a lot of Canadian companies with really bad governance or acting irresponsibly.
Other than Van Hack, who has really good governance.
Yeah, I don't know about this Ilya guy, but I think the rest of the Van Hack team is pretty good. You do not see a lot of Canadian companies imploding the way FTX has because of regulation, because of just better governance, board oversight. But to that point, you know, there was one question here about what about people other than developers? And I maybe want to ask you, Ilya, because when I worked at BlackBerry, which was a global company, we had 20,000 employees. I know that at that time we treated different regions a little differently. And I know it can be a little bit harder as a former marketer myself for non-engineers non-programmers to maybe find roles or maybe to have their work experience in other locations be as valued. So yeah. Do you have any tips for people who are maybe like, you know, I was leading this huge sales team in Latin America. I was leading marketing for these big brands. I'm on customer support in India somewhere, like hundreds of people doing customer support for big companies. Yeah. How do they advocate for that experience in North America?
Well, it's funny you should mention it, Douglas. We just launched this week, so I don't know if you saw the news, but we actually
launched something this week.
VanHack Sales or VanHack Sales Talent launched on Wednesday, I believe. We posted our first BDR roles and are filling them now. And so I've been thinking a lot about how we can help non-tech talent that's still in tech, like salespeople or whatever. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for that, especially if you have good communication skills. Like if you can speak English and you can sell, if you can speak English, if you can product. Yeah, I love product. I just realized I didn't know this, but I am a product manager. I've been like working as a product manager for years. I didn't even know it. So yeah, just like I'm a big shout out to product people. So that's something that we have. We already have that. We already have PM jobs.
So you got the link in chat you can drop for people if they want to check that out a little bit more?
VanHack.com/jobs. Like that's okay. That's our job board, right? So yeah, like I will be, what I will say is we will be actively adding more non-tech jobs to the VanHack platform in this year. That is a prediction that I will give for 2023, is that VanHack will not have just software developer tech talent jobs. It will have sales jobs or QA or marketing, or, you know, we will kind of take that step to help anyone from anywhere get hired for any job. And like, we're not going to do like plumbers or electricians yet, maybe in the future, like other types of talent that could be cool. Like bringing health tech workers, I think it'd be really cool to bring like bio PhDs or nurses from anywhere around the world to Canada or from Canada to Europe or from, you know, anywhere to anywhere. So anyway, that's kind of my thought about this whole, like, if you're not a software developer, can you hire outside Canada? Yeah. I mean, we do fully remote global jobs, and we also have like a lot of customers in Germany and the Netherlands and Eastern Europe, Western Europe, America. I'm currently in Oakland. So, 5 more minutes. Let's hit Douglas with a few more questions. If people aren't able to hit you with the questions, can they just tweet you? Like,
you can tweet me. Well, as long as Twitter still exists, you can tweet me at Tron, at TRON, or you can, you know, tweet us at Datakit. And then I'm sure we can find some other ways, drop some links where people can send me a message on LinkedIn even. I just want to say, just follow up on this before we get this last question. Make sure when you're talking to North American companies that you realize that you have to educate them about your work as much as you're learning about what's happening in North America, because they're not going to maybe understand that the company that you're working for previously was like the big deal there and that you have the work experience. So don't concede that you don't have enough. Like, really explain to them what you were doing. I know there were some people saying it's really hard to find jobs in Java with 3 years experience. Apply anyways. Show them how you use that 3 years of experience to do something really successful. Don't stop yourself from succeeding by not trying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
You got to put yourself out there.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And I think like Canada is an ecosystem that allows and embraces people who do that. And so what can people who, like, let's say our wonderful country, you know, welcomes with open arms, what can they do to help? You know, how can they pay it forward? How can they come to Canada and contribute to that tech ecosystem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, well, first, there's a tons of needs for jobs, even in this current environment where there's been layoffs. We know that there's a talent gap. Ilya and I have talked about it a bunch of different times. It's tens of thousands of people that we're looking to fill, right? So just being here helps. But I also think bringing international experience, different ways of working, different cultural perspectives, like really being yourself in the workspace, connecting with other people. You might have a little bit more remote work experience than most Canadians or North Americans pre-COVID is a really big deal. And I actually think Canada's really lacking a lot of really good, strong sales and marketing experience. So for the non-programmers out there, if you've been working with major brands around the world, if you've got great sales and marketing experience, There's a lot of things that you can leverage there and really educate the market here, because Canada has been strong on, you know, PhDs, development engineering talent. Everyone talks about that, even though we need more, but we, you know, if you've been a global sales lead, if you've been, doing a bunch of brand marketing campaigns, there's a lot of global experience right now that you can be leveraging.
I love it. It's like, I mean, that's what Canada is. It's like the big, one of the biggest, I think it's the biggest percentage of immigrants in any population in the world. Like I'm pretty sure that's the case. Like 40% or something of Canadians, or 30% of Canadians, are either immigrants or children of immigrants or something like that. And that number is only going to go up, because these people are going to, like, you know, you have kids and it's like your kid is a kid of immigrants. Right. So I think it's something really cool. You know, let's pause and wrap it up. We have 1 minute left. Douglas, thank you so much. The next step we're going to talk about is actually visas, immigration, global mobility. We have, you know, the fantastic Asia and Tatiani here with us coming up soon. So everyone has their kind of technical questions, you know, that they can help make it happen. Tweet Douglas your questions. I'm sure we didn't reach them all. So tweet me, tweet Douglas. I'm just at Ilya Brodsky. I'm pretty sure you can figure out how to spell it. I won't spell it for you. But Google me or tweet me, and then tweet Douglas. I have to say at Tron, that's a baller handle. Nice work on that one.
Man, get in there early and often, participate.
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, please tweet us your questions. I am at a conference right now, as well as Van Hack Conference. I'm at two conferences today. We won't reply. So are you, right? You're at SAS North. Or are you done?
SAS North has ended, but I'm still in Ottawa. Yeah. So that's a showcase of, like, you know, Canadian tech around the world right now.
Yeah. And everyone should listen to the BetaKit podcast. If you're not subscribed to the BetaKit podcast, go and do that. Bonus points if you listen to my interview. That was a lot of fun.
On his birthday. And that's how much Ilya cares about this stuff.
It's fun. This is fun. This for me is like a lot of, I don't know, genuinely fun stuff. So yeah, I can't think of something better to do other than go for dinner with my wife afterwards, which was more fun than recording a podcast with you and Rob. But that was cool too. And so yeah, we had talked a lot about visas, immigration. By the way, they still haven't gotten back to me on our petition. So a little bit
you
of
might whatever. Have to do a follow-up podcast. I saw some visa questions. Yeah. I know the next session is going to be amazing talking through that.
Let's do that. Thank you, Douglas, for helping me. And have a great day, man.
Girl. Happy to be here. Everyone, have a great Van Hack Con. It was nice to meet you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Van Hack Podcast. Make sure to create your account at vanhack.com to access jobs that are hiring from abroad.